We're going to go to the cross this morning. You know, I don't know about you, Jimmy, but it seems like I can't go too long before I have to go back to the cross again, you know. And I was sitting in my office, and, you know, I've got a Bible that kind of, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are individual accounts of the Gospels. And I've got a Bible that kind of puts them all together chronologically. And you can read I like to read the account of the cross out of that, because it gives you the mix of what everyone, what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what they each saw, what they each took note of, what the Holy Spirit compelled them to write. And I was just there reading through the cross again, and it just amazes me. No matter how many times I hear about it, no matter how many times I think about it, it still brings amazement to me that the very God who created everything that you see around us, that created you and I, would hang on a cross for our sins. It amazes me. And that's what I want to look at again today. Just a small piece of the story in Luke chapter 23. We're going to start at verse 33. So Luke 23:33, we'll read two verses, skip, and then read a couple verses more. But starting at verse 33 of Luke 23, it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." So let's skip down to verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thought not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me and paradise." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for the songs, the testimonies. We thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts today. Lord, that you would use me, help me to preach this message that you've given to me. Lord, I ask that you'd help us to be attentive to the word. Open up our ears. Open it up so that way we truly consider what you've got. And Lord, consider the cross and what Jesus did for us. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you'd save a soul today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
So by this time, Jesus Christ had already been condemned to death by Pilate. He was the Roman governor. And even though Pilate mentioned three times, "I find no fault in him," he had a political problem. He wanted to appease the Jews, and the Jews hated Jesus. So he was trying to get out of making a decision on what to do with Jesus. But let me tell you something today. You and I, each one of us, have to make a decision with Jesus Christ. We can try to put it off. We can try to wait. We can try to throw it off to something else. Like Pilate tried to put the decision in Herod's hands. He tried to get out of it, but it all came down to the end. If he truly believed that Jesus was innocent, which I think he did, then why did he have him beaten? And why did he have an innocent man put to death? He made the wrong judgment that day because he wanted to keep his job and his political position. He was afraid the Jews were going to uproar and he'd have a bigger problem on his hands. So one of his last little tricks that he tried is there was a custom that they would release a prisoner on this Passover feast. So he found the worst one that he could find, and he said, will you release Barabbas the murderer, or will you release Jesus? And he knew, the Bible said, he knew that they'd offered up Jesus out of envy, and he was hoping that, Brother Preston, he could get out of it that day. They would pick Jesus. Jesus would be released, and he could go back to his easy living that day. Oh, but the crowd, they called his bluff. They wanted the murderer instead of Jesus Christ, the righteous, that day. So they chose a murderer instead. So Barabbas was one of those crosses was supposed to be his, but instead they wanted Jesus on that cross anyway. So after Pilate made the decision to appease the Jews, he had already been beaten once and scourged, but the soldiers stripped him of his clothes. They put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head. They put a reed in his right hand. They were mocking him. So they put this kingly robe, and all the soldiers bowed down their knees and mocked him as King of the Jews. They spit on him. They hit his head with the reed, and then they led him on the road to Calvary with two thieves, or Luke calls them malefactors, basically means bad men. So here we go, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. The Bible doesn't give a whole lot of details, but that statement's very powerful right there. We know that the Romans, through history, they crucified thousands upon thousands. It was an awful way to die. It was a slow, painful, torturous way to die. And there you have the details that we have. Is we've got three crosses. You've got Jesus Christ in the middle. You've got one thief on the left and one thief on the right. And whatever gospel you go to, and when it talks about the thieves, they all say they were up there for the same reason. Okay? So you've got two thieves and Jesus in the middle. So there we've got Jesus and the thieves dying for these crimes. And then in verse 34, Jesus, his first words on the cross we have in 34. He says, before he tells John what to do with his mother, and before anything else, Jesus Christ on the cross looks up to heaven and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine that today? And 700 years before this happened, the prophet Isaiah explained in past tense what would happen on that day. The Lord revealed to him what would happen in Isaiah chapter 53. And some of the things that Isaiah described is this: but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah was looking down through time into the future 700 years later, and he could see Jesus Christ on the cross, and he ended that. He said, but he made intercession for us all. Aren't you glad that Jesus that day looked up to heaven? He didn't have to say, Father, forgive me, because Jesus was sinless. He didn't have any sins that needed forgiven. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't understand what they're doing right now. They don't have a full knowledge of it. Their eyes are blinded with hate. Their eyes are blinded with envy and everything else. But Jesus, in spite of the mocking, in spite of the beatings, in spite of everyone railing on him and his suffering, Jesus showed us mercy. Aren't you glad that he showed us mercy on the cross? But one thing I want to look at during all of this is where I started up again in verse 39. So in between the two verses, Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. No doubt that made the chief priests and the Jews even more angry. We know what they said from another gospel. It said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. And then the crowd is mocking. The chief priests are mocking. The soldiers are mocking. And then we don't know which side it is, but one of the thieves started mocking him too. Remember, they're just feet away from each other. The one thief and Jesus Christ, just feet away. And he starts railing on him, Luke says, and says, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. You know what that thief is telling Jesus? Just what everyone else is. Why don't you come down off there? You say you're the King of the Jews. You say you're God. You've made all of these claims. You've done miracles. You've done all of these things. If you're so powerful, why don't you just get down off that cross? And can you imagine what they're saying? Remember, he had already forgiven them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They really knew not what they were saying. Because if he would have come down off that cross, if he wouldn't have completely died and paid the price for the sins of the world, there would be no forgiveness.
Amen.
There'd be nothing for them to believe in.
That's right.
And
there they are, railing on him, mocking him, asking him to come down. I'm glad he didn't come down. I'm glad he went all the way for you and I. You know, sometimes we feel like quitting. Sometimes we give up. Sometimes we lay our cross down. Sometimes we disappoint God and we have to go back and ask for forgiveness and pick that cross back up and get back to where we need to be with God. But I am glad Jesus never quit on us. I'm glad that Jesus didn't stop. He went all the way for you and I. So there's the one thief mocking. But here we have something interesting in verse 39. The other thief in verse 40 rebuked him. And he said something, "Dost not thou fear God?" That's a hard way for us to say it today. But he's asking him, "Don't you fear God? Is there any fear in you?" And then he goes further. See, he's saying, "Listen, if you'd have just stopped there, it would have been good." But he said, "Seeing thou art in the same condemnation." So we have one thief telling the other thief. He's saying, "Listen, you and I and Jesus are all on the cross together." Right? We're all condemned together by the Romans. We're all suffering the same punishment. We're dying on the cross. But do you realize the question that he's just asked? Do you not fear God?
Yeah.
One thief to the other thief. Do you not fear God?
Yeah.
In the middle. You see what he's saying? We know he's saying Jesus is God because he said we're all in the same condemnation. Do you not fear God?
Yeah.
Oh, that changes everything, doesn't it?
Right.
He's saying, "Do you not fear God?" And then go on in verse 41. One thief telling the other thief, "And we indeed justly." You know what he's saying? You and I are condemned to die because, you know, we deserve this. The Romans said with what we did, we deserve the death sentence on the cross. We're getting what we deserve. We stole, we murdered, whatever we did, and we're getting the same punishment. But what's he say about Jesus in the middle? "This man hath done nothing amiss."
Right.
We deserve the cross. He doesn't.
Right.
That's what the thief's saying. Can you imagine this? They're all three dying together. All three facing this condemnation. He said, "This man is innocent." He's saying, "You are mocking him. You're telling him to come down off that cross. But you should be more afraid that this is God. And not only that this is God, that he's innocent. And not only that he is innocent, that he is up there on the cross and he's not coming down." He said, "You should be more afraid of that. An innocent God would take the punishment for something that he doesn't deserve. And even though he could have come down from the cross..." You know, we say he could have called 10 legions of angels, or 12, or however many legions. He could have stepped off that cross if he wanted to.
Yeah.
By himself.
Amen.
And that one thief saying, "Doesn't that make you afraid?"
Yeah.
Doesn't that change your whole outlook on everything? We're mad that we're up here, but we deserve it. We're mad that we got caught, but we deserve it. That's what our crime, that's the punishment for the crime. This man's innocent, but he's not getting off.
That's right.
He's going the whole way. And in fact, he's looked down at everybody and said, "Father, forgive him."
My goodness. You should stop mocking God. And you should fear him. That's what he says.
Amen.
He's trying to convince the other thief that this is God. This is something different. Something's going on. But he basically makes that witness. And then, I don't know if he realized it wasn't working, or he realized, "You know what? I need to deal with Jesus myself." Because that's what he does in verse 42 right after that. He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He makes a statement. He has a request of Jesus. He's dying on the cross next to him. He had already rebuked the other thief. And now he's turning to the Lord. And you know, I've heard people take this story and say, well, this man was saved under special circumstance. This man was different because, see, they don't like it. Because if this man saved, which I believe he was, with what Jesus will tell him in a minute, I believe he's done everything that Jesus requires of salvation. God's no respecter of persons. He does not give me an easier way to heaven than you. He gives us the same requirements. He gives us the same faith, the same grace, the same gospel message. Everything's the same. It's just our choice what we want to do with it. I believe he fulfilled every requirement that it takes to be saved. And the problem is, there are religions out here that don't like it because their requirements aren't in here.
Right.
But let's look at it. What did he do? I told you a couple weeks ago when Jesus started preaching and he started his work on earth. Mark 1:14, it says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Remember that? Matthew, see, what happens is, number one, you have to repent if you want to be saved. And to repent, that is a turning. And I think the big turn is up here. See, both of them, we know from Matthew and Mark's account of this story, we know that both thieves mocked him. And see, people say, well, that's a contradiction in the Bible, right? Because they can't both mock him. And then only one mock him, and the other one yell at him for mocking him, right? Like our story. They say, well, obviously the Bible is a contradiction. It's full of errors. Everything's wrong. Or they did both mock him, and then one stopped mocking him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something happened in between. You know what happened in between? Jesus happened in between.
Yeah.
Father, forgive him happened in between.
Right?
Yeah. I believe that the one thief that ends up turning to Jesus, he's mocking him just like the crowd, just like everyone else. But he saw something in the middle and it changed everything. Right?
Amen.
And then he stopped mocking.
Yeah.
And he said, do you not fear God?
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's repentance right there.
Amen.
That's changing. His belief was, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to be lawless. I don't know what if he was belonging to any religion or anything like that. None of those things helped him right there. But he saw something different in Jesus Christ. And when he saw something different in Jesus Christ, he said, I don't care about my old ways. I don't care about what everyone else thinks about Jesus. I don't care about what the Roman soldiers are mocking, the chief priests are mocking, or anything else. This is God, and I fear him. He changed. He repented. So number one, you got to repent. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, you know what? That thief already admitted that he was guilty. He said, I've done the crime. I'm getting my reward. Right? He said he was guilty. He said Jesus was innocent. He already said Jesus was God. But you know what? What blesses my heart is he turns to Jesus. Now, this is three dying men on the cross. They're all dying, right? They're all going to die from the cross. And the thief turns to Jesus Christ and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Isn't that a strange thing for one dying man to tell the other dying man, remember me? Usually it's one dying person telling someone who's not dying, remember me, right?
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? He's saying, Jesus, I know you're God.
Yeah.
And not only do I know you're God, he didn't live long enough to see Jesus raised from the dead, but that didn't matter. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? Lord, I know you're coming into your kingdom one day, and when you get there, will you remember me? Oh, will you remember me? That's what he's saying. He put his belief in Jesus Christ. He said, I don't care what it looks like right now. It looks bad. It looks like you're dying. But I know you're coming again. And let me tell you something.
something. If you want to find forgiveness from Jesus Christ, number one, you got to repent of your old ways. You got to turn back of the junk that this world's trying to tell you. And you got to turn to Jesus Christ. And you have to believe that He died and rose from the grave. You and I weren't there. But neither was that thief. But he believed.
Amen.
He said, "Lord, You're going to raise. You're coming back. And I believe it." That's the same thing we have to believe.
Glory.
So there was his faith. He believed in what was going to happen. Not only that, but another requirement is confession. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That thief's first word to Jesus, what was it? Lord.
Yes.
Lord. Jesus. Remember me. You can repent of your old beliefs. You can believe that Jesus died, buried, and rose on the third day for your sins. You can do all those things, but you also have to call on Him.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. There are a lot of people that believe the story of Jesus. A lot of people think that it's right. A lot of people get excited about it around Christmas time. But you have to call on the Lord. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything specific. You know, I've heard of people getting saved in the living room. I've heard of people getting saved in the bathroom. I've heard of people getting saved up here at the altar. I'm going to turn on the fan to help us a little bit. But I've heard people getting saved all over the place, and it doesn't matter where. But is there a time in your life when you called upon the name of Jesus Christ? If there's not a time when you actually did that, I'm not talking about when your grandmother called on Jesus. I'm not talking about when your parent called on Jesus. When your spouse called on Jesus, I'm talking about, is there a time in your life when you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yeah.
Just like that thief did. It was one-on-one. There was a crowd all around. There were soldiers all around. There were millions of people in the city that day. And there was, I'm sure, a lot of people stopped by to look and to gawk and to yell and everything else. But that thief looked at Jesus and said, "I need to talk with Him. I need to tell Him something. I need to make a request with Him." And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I remember the day back when I was 9 years old down the road in Ashley in a little house. It was after a Sunday evening service. We had got home and my heart was tore up all the way home. And all I did was pray a short prayer when we got home. And I asked Jesus to save my soul. And He did it.
Yeah.
Did you do the same thing? Have you ever called on Him? Have you done that? Have you repented? You believe that Jesus died and rose again?
Yes, amen.
If there's no time when you've done this, and see, some people, they try to do it without repentance. I know we preached on it the other day, but I'll touch on it real quick. See, you can believe in Jesus, you can call on Him, and then if you expect to go back to the old life, that's not going to cut it. What did Jesus start preaching right at the beginning? Repent ye and believe.
Amen.
You got to turn. You know what that means? You can't mix the beliefs of the world with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, "I want it all." You can't mix some other... What did the Old Testament they tried to do? They tried to mix the gods of other nations with the God of Israel. He said, "No, you're not doing it. I'm a jealous God. It's me only or not at all." And that's what He's saying. You can't come and say you've accepted Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious leader, one day? He said, "You must be born again." You know what that means? Your life must change. He told a religious man, a Jewish religious leader and teacher, He told him, even though you've done all these things in the name of religion, He said, "You got to change."
Yeah.
Have you changed? Have you called on Jesus? And you believe that He died and He rose again for your sins. That's it. That's it. Those are the requirements. So now I want you to imagine what came after in this story. So if you imagine you're the thief on the cross that asked for forgiveness, Jesus told him. He didn't wait any longer.
He didn't ask him to join a church, even though there's nothing wrong with doing that. He didn't ask him to be baptized. We're going to baptize later. And that's the first thing you do after you get saved, to show everybody that you're joined with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. It's a good thing to do. But that man couldn't be baptized. Jesus didn't ask him to help the poor. He didn't tell him to pray five times in a certain place. He didn't tell him to take religious classes or anything else. Jesus merely said, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." And I like that, because if I'm the one asking for forgiveness, dying on the cross, that means me and Jesus are both going to die that day. I am guilty because in the sight of Rome, I committed the crime and I'm reaping what I've sown. The death will satisfy Roman justice, but Jesus is God and man, and He is innocent in the eyes of God. He was innocent in the eyes of Rome, but Jesus' death will satisfy the punishment that God had set out for the sins of this world. Jesus Christ, He didn't satisfy Rome that day. He satisfied the God of heaven for all of our sins. Jesus said, "I will give my life freely." And you know what happened? The one thief asking for forgiveness, they came and broke his legs, and he wouldn't have been able to push up and really breathe anymore, and he would have suffocated in an agonizing, painful, awful death. He would have drawn his last breath. Oh, but that man that asked for forgiveness, the Bible says that he would have shut his eyes and he would have opened them up, and he would be with Jesus Christ in paradise. You're saying, "Wait a second, Mike, how could that happen?" Well, Jesus Christ died first. They were amazed when they went to break the legs that He was already dead. So Jesus went there first. He died first. You want to know how He died? He didn't die suffocating. You know what He did? He proclaimed with a loud voice, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And Dr. Luke, who was a physician, said He yielded up the ghost. Luke would have seen death after death after death. And he said, "This one was different. I've never seen a man give up himself when he could have kept living."
That's right.
Jesus died for our sins voluntarily on the cross, even though He was innocent, even though He was God. Does that not make you a little afraid today?
Yeah.
Does that not wake you up? Does that not make you think about what you're doing? But Jesus was already waiting for the thief. And He made good on His promise just hours later. There they were. But there were three crosses that day. There was another thief that day. And I can tell you the rest of his story based on what the Bible says. You ready for this? If you're the other thief who didn't want Jesus, here's what would have happened to you that day. The other thief, he died too. But he rejected Jesus' offer of forgiveness. So he is on the cross. His legs are broken. He is struggling to take his last breath. And then finally, once he does, he would have closed his eyes. And then he would have opened them up in hell. He would have lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he would have looked up. And he would have seen the other thief in paradise. Do you believe that? I do. Because it's just like the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus said. One thief that mocked him and said, "Come down," would have looked up in hell and saw the other thief who had asked Jesus hours before. You know what would have been ringing in his ears and in his mind over and over again in hell? "Dost not thou fear God? Dost not thou fear God?" And he would have heard even worse than that. He would have heard, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," as the flames are all around, as he couldn't quench his thirst, all those memories, everything that he's ever done, and he was just merely feet away from the God of heaven, merely feet away from the Creator of all things, feet away from the only one that could have saved his soul that day. And instead of taking the offer, he said no. I don't know if he actually told Jesus no, or he could have just ignored Jesus. That's what people do sometimes. They just try to ignore it as if Jesus never existed. But you got to make a choice, just like Pilate did. You may try to put it off today and say, "Well, I'll wait till another day." You're telling Jesus no.
That thief, still in hell today, still can't find relief today, still remembering the cross, still remembering Jesus, and still remembering what Jesus said and what the other thief said.
Yes. Listen, church.
If you reject Jesus Christ and you die, you will lift up your eyes in hell.
That's right.
As well. And you will remember what anyone has ever told you about Jesus.
Yeah.
You may hear this message over and over again forever, wishing you'd have one more chance to say yes to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
People are afraid of a lot of things. They're afraid of cancer. Some are afraid of the IRS because they don't pay what they should. Some are afraid of the law because they're going against the law. Some are afraid of the future just because they're scared. I don't know which. Think about your fear today. What makes you most afraid? And then let me ask you this. Do you fear God?
Yeah.
What about when you die? What's your plan after death? There's cemeteries full. If we live long enough, we'll die.
Yeah.
Right? We may die today. We may die 10, 15, however many years down the road. These young kids, they may live a long time. We never know. You're not promised tomorrow. But eventually we'll all die. If the Lord doesn't come back. We all will. Then what? What's your plans then? You're tough now. Right? What will you do then? What will you do then? You know, this world wants to say rest in peace when everybody dies. The Bible doesn't have that. The Bible has forgiveness through Jesus Christ of what He did on the cross. And then it has hell. It has heaven for those who accept Jesus and hell for those who reject. That's it. What's your plan? What's your plan when you die? You're going to have some man stand up. And maybe they'll say good things about you. But you're already gone.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. If God the Father was serious enough about sin to send His innocent Son to the cross and to die that way.
That's right.
He is serious about your sin.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, Mike, I'm not that bad. Are you Jesus?
Right.
Are you perfect? You're not. Right. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
I figured that out as a 9-year-old boy. That I was a sinner and I needed Jesus.
Bless your brother.
The Holy Spirit's touching your heart right now. You need Jesus too.
Amen.
I don't know if you've tried to come to Him. I don't know if you've walked away. I don't know if maybe you prayed a prayer and didn't mean it. I don't know if you went back to your old life or whatever it is. But you need Jesus for real. And you need Him to change you for real.
Amen.
And you need to walk out of here different than you came
in.
And Jesus can do that.
Amen. That's right.
But the decision is yours. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Are you ready to start a new life with Jesus? Both of these men on the cross had the same circumstances.
Yeah.
The same choice. Right? They had the same access to Jesus. One made one choice. The other made a different choice. We're sitting in a crowd of people here. You all have the same access to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We have the same gospel. We've got the same Holy Spirit.
That's
we have the same requirements. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, educated, uneducated, race, whatever language you speak, culture, it doesn't matter. The requirements are the same.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus looks at all of us equally. We don't look at us equally, but Jesus does. And there's one requirement.
That's right.
Are you going to trust in Him? Let Him change your life, and you're going to believe and confess or not. We're going to have them sing a song in a second. Brooke's going to sing.